Welcome to part one of this week's DBM strategy call, folks. As ever, there is a lot happening as we work to monitor the highest levels of macroeconomics and geopolitics to assist our digital business decisions. Let's start with what we think is the most mind-bending story of the week. It's coming out of the Middle East, and it is a massive validation of the censorship-resistant thesis for Bitcoin. Iran has officially launched a state-backed maritime insurance platform called Hormuz Safe for vessels transiting the Strait of Hormuz.
Right, and the kicker here is how they're settling it. They aren't using traditional banking rails, SWIFT, or even centralized stablecoins like USDT. They're settling premiums and claims directly in Bitcoin. This is a direct response to Western enforcement actions that recently froze hundreds of millions of dollars in Iranian-linked Tether.
Exactly. They learned the lesson of centralized counterparty risk the hard way. Bloomberg reported that this playbook is expected to generate upwards of $10 billion in revenue. When you realize the Strait of Hormuz handles roughly 20% of the world's oil flow, Iran is effectively using Bitcoin to monetize a massive chunk of global energy transit.
It's almost 1% of Bitcoin's entire market cap flowing through a single geopolitical channel. You can bet every other sanctioned nation on Earth is studying this exact blueprint, especially when you look at the history. In 1971, Nixon killed the gold standard. In 2003, Iraq tries to sell oil in euros. Saddam is dead within months. Then came 2011, where Gaddafi tried a gold-backed currency. He was removed within months. Then came 2022, where Russia gets $300 billion frozen and counting. Here is 2026, we see Iran choosing Bitcoin, and the financial-industrial complex can't do anything about it. For now.
Fascinating. Okay, meanwhile, Washington is playing a delicate game of chess. The U.S. just accepted a temporary OFAC waiver on Iran's oil sanctions during an active negotiation period. But at the same time, the bipartisan push to fortify America's own digital reserves is accelerating. Representatives Nick Bekich and Jared Golden introduced the ARMA bill, a bipartisan piece of legislation to lock current U.S. government Bitcoin holdings into a strategic Bitcoin reserve for at least 20 years.
And the White House executive director hinted that an official announcement on that strategic reserve is coming very soon. It's wild to watch the shift from treating Bitcoin as a speculative asset to it becoming a cornerstone tool of international statecraft.
That's for sure. Those of us choosing to own Bitcoin early are watching closely. Okay, let's pivot to the macro side because the big news on Friday completely reshaped the legacy financial system. Kevin Warsh was officially sworn in as the new Federal Reserve Chair.
This is a historic first, John. Warsh is the first ever pro-Bitcoin Fed chair, and he actually disclosed over $100 million in personal crypto-related investments prior to taking office. He inherits a brutal macro setup. Sticky inflation, structurally high bond yields, and immense political pressure from the White House to cut rates.
He definitely has his work cut out for him, especially considering the liquidity backdrop as the world navigates some level of monetary reform, yet still applies TradFi techniques in plain sight. Just last week, the Fed quietly injected $10 billion into the economy via two Treasury bill operations. $6.58 billion on Tuesday and $3.29 billion on Thursday.
And that liquidity injection comes at a time when American consumers are stretched to the absolute limit. U.S. household debt just ticked up another $18 billion in Q1, hitting a staggering record of $18.8 trillion. Adjusted for inflation, we are nearing real debt levels not seen since the 2008 financial crisis.
Which explains why the administration is trying to open up alternative financial pipes. In a major directive, the White House ordered the Fed to grant crypto firms direct access to central bank master accounts. If this goes through, crypto institutions could clear and move money like traditional banks, completely cutting out the commercial banking gatekeepers they currently rely on.
Though it's worth noting that behind closed doors, the institutional machine is still pushing its own centralized tech. Former CFTC Chair Timothy Massad revealed that officials are still quietly exploring a US CBDC, central bank digital currency, pointing to the U.S. role in the BIS Project Agora, which is actively testing tokenized central bank money.
Yes, it seems we will be operating under full fiat currencies for some time to come. Which brings us to the corporate players, because the capital flows this week were massive, even if the short-term retail price action looked a little choppy. First off, MicroStrategy did what MicroStrategy does. They acquired another 24,869 BTC for $2.01 billion, averaging about $80,985 per coin. As of mid-May, their total BTC stash sits at a mind-boggling 843,738 BTC.
Unstoppable. And they aren't the only ones buying the asset. Asset manager Strive added another 382 BTC to their balance sheet for roughly $30 million. On top of that, Galaxy Digital just secured its highly coveted New York BIT license through its Galaxy One Prime entity, meaning institutional crypto pipelines in NY just got a major upgrade.
Yet, despite all this institutional buying, the broader fund flows showed some short-term exhaustion. CoinShares reported $1.07 billion in outflows from digital asset funds last week, breaking a six-week streak of positive inflows. It's actually the third largest outflow we've seen in 2026 so far. That macro anxiety triggered a sharp weekend dip below $75,000, which caught high-leverage traders off guard and wiped out $917 million in liquidations over a 24-hour window.
Yeah, the leverage flush was painful, but the on-chain data paints a completely different story for the spot market. CryptoQuant analysts noted that long-term holder supply has climbed back to 15.26 million BTC, the highest level since August 2025. These diamond hands accumulated roughly 316,000 BTC over the last 30 days alone. It's a complete reversal from the heavy profit-taking we saw in the late 2025 rallies.
Yes, it seems the smart money is looking at the overall structural landscape, Sarah. Look at Wall Street right now. The SEC just approved NASDAQ to list Bitcoin index options, unlocking massive structural hedging and trading capabilities. Plus, A16Z Crypto reported that tokenized real-world assets, heavily led by tokenized U.S. treasuries, just crossed a historic $30 billion milestone. The plumbing of global finance is actively being rebuilt on-chain. Several of the projects we work with in the DBM model are directly linked to this capital.
Powerful stuff for sure. And to consolidate the vision of this model, we have to look at the massive shifts happening in the regulatory and equity trading landscapes. First, a huge structural win for the entire crypto industry. The SEC has officially retired its decades-old 1972 policy that prevented settling defendants from denying the agency's allegations.
Oh, this is massive for corporate public relations. Previously, when crypto firms settled with the SEC without admitting fault, they were legally gagged from publicly defending themselves or denying the narrative of guilt. Now, they can settle a case and still control their own public narrative like any other industry can.
And speaking of public markets, the pre-IPO and equity space went absolutely berserk this week. The offshore decentralized platform Hyperliquid made waves by launching pre-IPO perpetual futures for SpaceX under the ticker SPXC. It opened at $150 a share and rapidly surged past $200.
The market is implying a jaw-dropping valuation of near $2.2 trillion for Elon Musk's aerospace giant. That would make SpaceX one of the top six most valuable companies in America before it even touches a public legacy exchange. And let's not forget the crypto connection. SpaceX itself holds over 18,700 Bitcoin on its balance sheet.
Not to be outdone, Sam Altman's OpenAI is reportedly preparing to file for its own IPO in the coming weeks, following massive private equity talks and high-level briefings with the Feds and Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance. Legacy markets are gearing up to host some of the most hyped, controversial tech IPOs in financial history, right as the SEC introduces new reform proposals to make the listing process easier for corporations.
It's a wild convergence. From Japan's ruling party approving plans to build a financial system powered by autonomous AI agents and blockchain payments, to South Korea reviewing its 22% crypto tax after a massive 50,000-signature citizen petition, the old financial system is bending to the reality of digital assets.
It absolutely is. What a week to digest. As ever, the key is to consider all this high-level maneuvering to help guide your digital business and associated asset holdings decision-making. We're seeing major moves play out in front of us in real time, from AI trading to consumer lottery platforms, and from sports industry to entertainment. The convergence of everyday activities that also provide ordinary people with ownership, equity, and income yields has arrived. Be sure to access the DVM Strategy Call Part 2 to stay on top of your digital business and the moves we are making this coming week. We'll see you there, and see you next time.